Well, we probably all know, many of us anyway, that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, right? Some of us know that. And according to the story, he was so short that when he wanted to see Jesus, he had to do something that no respectable male adult would do in his time. He ran ahead of the crowd, and of course he was wearing a robe, so he'd have to hike up his robe, run ahead of the crowd, and then he climbed a tree. Can you imagine? Here's a guy in a robe trying to climb a tree. Not a pretty picture. He wasn't wearing a suit under the robe. He was also a tax collector and very rich. He wasn't just any tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Just imagine for a moment that I'm the chief tax collector and you are all my minions. You are all my tax collectors. You go out into the countryside and you collect the money that Rome wants, and then you add to that the money you get for your own salary. And then you add to that the money you have to give me as the chief tax collector. It's kind of an ancient version of a pyramid scheme, you see. People hated him. He was a bad guy. They knew it. He collected taxes for the occupying army and the occupying culture, Rome. Tax collectors were assumed to be dishonest, to be sinners. The problem we run into, and we run into this throughout the Gospels, is that Jesus keeps associating with these people. He goes over to the tree when he sees Zacchaeus up there, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for lunch." Well, Zacchaeus comes down. And I always pictured this when I was a child, as moving from the outside to the inside, to Zacchaeus' house. But as I look at the story again, it doesn't say that. It says Zacchaeus stood there and said, so this is all happening under the tree with the crowd of people who hate Zacchaeus gathered around. He says, as the New RSV puts it, "Half of all that I have I will give to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, I won't just pay back one time what I took from them or twice what I took from them. I'll pay back four times," which means that he was going beyond the requirements of the law. The difficulty with this little passage, however, is that in the Greek, it is in present tense. It's possible to read it, "I will do this," but it's also very possible, maybe even likely, he's describing what he already does. This guy who everybody hates, who everybody thinks is a sinner, is very likely already giving away a half of all he earns to support the poor, which was a requirement of the religious tradition and a requirement of ours. And he was moving beyond the full extent of the law to pay back four times any debt that had been collected dishonestly. This changes from a story about a wee little man to an in-your-face story about a guy who is more righteous than the people who hate him. You see, they thought they were the good guys. They thought he was the bad guy, but by the time you finish this story, Jesus is saying, "Look, this man is a son of Abraham. I have come for this very purpose, to help you see that this guy you hate is no worse than you are. You are no better than he is." You know, we've heard a lot of conversation recently about good guys and bad guys. And whenever you hear conversation about good guys and bad guys, the people who talk about it always identify themselves with the good guys. I mean, at least I do. Suppose you would. And then the people who oppose them, disagree with them, live differently from them, are the bad guys. And that's a pretty clear distinction. Now, where do we get this idea? I think this theology probably comes from TV and movies. I remember even as a kid watching the Westerns, you know? And you could tell who the good guy was and who the bad guy was, sometimes even by the color of their hats, although we got a little bit more subtle after a while. But you knew who the good guy was, you knew who the bad guy was, and it didn't matter if the bad guy shot a dozen times, he was not going to hit the good guy, and the good guy was going to take the bad guy out with one, at most two shots. Right? You still see that on television. Watch NCIS. I guess I'm confessing something there, aren't I? That's still the story we tell. It's still the mythology we live out of. It's a fantasy. It doesn't happen that way. Ask anybody who has been in combat. Ask any police officer who's been in a shootout. It's a lot messier. And in trying to be the good guy, you can do a lot of harm unintentionally. You see, I think this theology of good guy, bad guy, I didn't mean to point to you all when I said bad guy. Good guy, bad guy, actually comes from TV and movies. It has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus, however. Jesus, in fact, turns it all upside down. Remember when the young man comes to Jesus and calls him good teacher? Jesus rebukes him. He said, don't call me good. Only God is good. No one is good. He emphasizes it. No, not one. Yikes, if Jesus can't even be called good, who can? We know he was a good guy. Just a little before this story of Zacchaeus, Jesus tells a terribly offensive story, and I'll apologize for repeating it to you. There is a good religious guy, a Pharisee, good religious person like us, who came to pray. And then there was a tax collector who we can assume to be a bad guy who came to pray. At least everybody listening to the story at that time would have made that assumption. And the good religious guy thanks God for all that he's been given and tells God how good he is. And finishes by saying, well, at least I'm not like this tax collector. And the tax collector beats his chest, and all he can say is, God, have mercy on me. And the offensive thing is that Jesus has the audacity to say that the tax collector went home with the right relationship to God, not the good religious person. Now, that's offensive. We knew when we started that story who the good guy was and who the bad guy was. And by the end of it, Jesus had switched them. It's pretty typical of somebody who associates with bad guys, don't you think? I mean, that's what he was criticized for, associating with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. You realize I'm using the word guy as a generic term, okay? It's inclusive. It includes men and women. It's kind of like use guys, you know, the northern version of our second person plural, y'all. You all. We all. What Jesus realized is that the line between good and bad doesn't fall between people. It falls right down the middle of people. That each of us who thinks he or she is a good guy can do so much harm, and sometimes that harm is done when we think we're doing good. And the people we think of as bad guys often turn out, like Zacchaeus, to be more righteous than we are, the crowd. You see, this is not a sweet story. This is a deeply offensive story. It's deeply offensive to all of us who think we know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And we still do. Tomorrow we will observe the birthday, though it's not the actual birthday, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I remember the day he was shot. I was a senior in high school. I was keeping the child of one of my teachers. I remember hearing on the television that he had been killed in Memphis. And I also remember that there were celebrations throughout the South, certainly, and in other parts of the country. Because you see, many of us with my skin color thought he was the bad guy. We assumed he was the bad guy because he was a troublemaker, according to our standards. He belonged to a different race. He didn't know his place by our standards. You know this is true, those of you who are alive at that time. And yet 45 years later, I hope, I trust that like Jesus and Zacchaeus, that has been reversed. Because you see, a lot of us at that time thought that the way you deal with a troublesome person of another race presenting a disturbing gospel was to take him out with a good guy with a gun. Many folks thought that. Sad as that may seem, tragic and horrible as that may seem, now we recognize that we may have actually gotten the good guy and the bad guy confused, or maybe that line between good guy and bad guy fell down the middle of both of them, of all of us. You see, Jesus makes it a lot harder to identify who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. Sometimes when we're trying to be good, we create great harm. Sometimes when we think we're doing our best, because we're so limited, our minds are so limited, our cultures are so limited. That's why Jesus says you can't call anybody good. We're way too limited to be good. We can strive for it. We can lean toward it. We can follow his example. You see, we read the Gospels, and for us, Jesus is the good guy. And the people who opposed him were the bad guys. But in his time, it was just the opposite. For the vast majority of people in and around Jerusalem and Galilee, Jesus was the bad guy. A few of his followers thought differently, but he was stirring up trouble. He was from Galilee, which was another strike against him. He was gaining the attention of the Romans. And finally, the good people, the good religious people like us, decided he had to be done away with because he was a bad guy. Just look who he associated with. And we know the only way that you can deal with a preacher who is preaching a disturbing gospel is to confront him with a lot of good people like us with a cross. Very different story, isn't it? Very different story than the sweet little story we've turned it into. Next time we're tempted to let that line fall between us, let's remember that story. And how Jesus, when confronted with the violence and evil of the world, didn't return it. He absorbed it. He took it to the grave and left it there. Maybe that's our job too.